Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning. Let's turn our Bible to John chapter 6, a very familiar passage from the Bible. John, Gospel of John chapter 6. A Bible passage that we always tell our Sunday school children is the story of the five loaves and the two fishes. I'm sure we're all quite familiar with it. And let's meditate on this passage, and hopefully we will learn a few lessons from this passage. Let's read from verse 5 to 14. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." All right. Now this passage, actually I've spoken to the Chinese congregation. But after I've spoken to them, then I went home and meditated on this furthermore. And I realized that there were quite a bit that I miss, so I will try to share with brother and sister here in the English congregation. Let's see if we can learn a few lessons from this Bible passage. Even though, brother and sister, you are very familiar with this story, you are very familiar with it, I'm sure, because it's a story that a lot of people love, and Sunday school children, they love this kind of stories too, right? So here you go. We have a big multitude of people. They were there. You know what, brother and sister? This particular story was mentioned in all 4 Gospels. So it has to be important. You know, the 4 different Gospels have different themes. Because of the different themes, so they chose different facts to elaborate on the theme. This particular story was mentioned in all 4 Gospels. So it's very important. So here in other gospel, we were told that during the day, the Lord Jesus was speaking to the people. They were not there just for the dinner. They were there actually listening to Jesus. So as the Lord spoke to them, more and more people gathered around. So that's why at the end of the day, when the day is getting late, there were about 5,000 of them. So the story tells us that Jesus asked Philip this question. What shall we do? How are we going to feed these 5,000 people, right? The Bible said very clearly, when Jesus asked this question, the Bible said, for he himself knew what he would do. This is very important. We will ponder on this later on. You know, it's quite amazing that Jesus asked people a question as if he doesn't know the answer. You know, Brian says that when you ask a question, generally speaking, you don't know the answers, therefore you ask a question, right? But here Jesus knew what he ought to do, but then he still asked this question. Obviously, he's not interested in just the answer, because the Bible tells us very clearly that this is a test. I want Brian Sister to pay attention to this. If this is a test, there has to be something to be tested, right? So when you go to school, when you know tomorrow there's a test, you always know what is being tested. Maybe it's testing on your math, maybe it's testing on your history, maybe it's testing on your chemistry. Do you know what is being tested on, right?
Here, do you know what Jesus is testing? Remember this question, okay? Remember in our mind. What is the Lord testing? And so immediately, Philip has a quick answer for the Lord Jesus. Well, even if we have 200 denarii to buy food, it's not enough to feed so many people. That's his answer. Then Andrew has another answer. See, when the Lord asks, remember, Brother Sister, when the Lord asks this question, even though he was actually asking Philip, but he was actually asking all the 12 disciples the same question, because it's a test to all of them. So Philip gave an answer about the 200 denarii. Andrew gave another answer, and Andrew said, there's a young man here who has a lunch here. He has a lunch box. In the lunch box, there are 5 loaves, 5 pieces of bread, and 2 fish. But then he said, "But only that, it's not even enough to feed. How can we feed 5,000 with this little bit of food, right?" So what the Lord asked them to do is, okay, let's let the people sit down. Okay, so they sit down. Other places in the Bible said they sit down in rows. As they sit down in rows, then it's quite easy to estimate how many people, right? So they estimated about 5,000 people. Then the Lord took their 5 loaves and the 2 fish, gave thanks, and then he broke the bread and the fish. And then he passed it on to the disciples, and the disciples passed them on to the people. And they all happily ate, right? They ate the food and they were satisfied. And then Jesus said to the disciples, let's gather up the remainder, the fragments, the remainder. So they gathered them up, and we know the story tells us that there were 12 basketful, right? So that's the facts of the Bible. Brothers and sisters, now, very commonly, we think of this story, we think about the 5,000 people, right? So it appears that the whole miracle was targeted towards the 5,000 people. They have a need, they are hungry, and it's getting late. So the Lord Jesus fed them. So the 5,000 people were satisfied, right? So we think this is what the Lord was trying to do. But brother and sister, you know, let's go to another verse in the same chapter, and you'll see that this story wasn't really intended for the 5,000 people. It wasn't intended to satisfy them. It was for another purpose. The reason why is because, remember that, now they were fed, right? They were happy, and they went home. And the next day they came back to Jesus. And Jesus said to them, in verse 26, Jesus said, Jesus answered them, the people that came back, okay? Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. So Jesus knew that, you know, after the 5,000 people saw the miracle, they were actually fed. The next day, they came back, and they came back for more food. So obviously, those people did not get the message, right? If they got the message, they wouldn't react in such a way. So as if nothing has happened the day before, so they come back for more food, okay? So obviously, this story is not about the 5,000 people. The story is about the 12 disciples. Because the greatest impact of this story is not on the 5,000 people, but on the 12 disciples. So now let's get back to this story, and now let's try to meditate on it and think, what was the Lord trying to teach the 12 disciples? Okay, at the very beginning, we learn from this passage that when the Lord asked Philip this question, where shall we buy bread that this may eat? The Bible says clearly, this he said to test him. This he said to test not only him, but the 12 disciples. Now we want to know, what is the Lord testing? Did they pass the test? This is something that we need to learn, right? Brother and sister, in this particular story, there are a couple of things that are quite unusual. When the Lord Jesus performed a miracle,
be it healing the sick or any other miracle. The disciples were just bystanders. They were observing what the Lord was doing, right? They were not participants in the miracle. They were only observing, and the Lord healed the sick people. Here, the disciples were participants in this particular miracle. Actually, in two areas. Number one, when the Lord, remember, the Lord gave thanks. And then what did the Lord say? The Lord did not just go and distribute the bread and the fish to the people. He actually used his disciples. He passed the bread and the fish to the disciples, and the disciples then hand them over to the people, as if the Lord deliberately wanted the disciples to be part of this particular miracle. You see, this is very amazing. Elsewhere, the disciples were only observing, and they weren't participants. But here, clearly, the Lord has a message for the 12 disciples, and therefore, the Lord wanted to make an impact to them and make them part of this miracle. And the Lord broke the bread and the fish, passed them on to the disciples, and they, in their hands, the fish and the loaves were passed to the multitude. So they were part of it. And another amazing thing is, when the people were fed, they were happy, they were satisfied. And the Lord said to the disciples, what did he say? Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Well, why would Jesus be so concerned about the leftovers? Right? He performed a miracle, the people ate, they were satisfied, they were happy. End of story, right? Why would the Lord ask the disciples, go and gather up the fragments? You know, when the disciples gather up the fragments, that's the only way that they will find out how much is left. And there were 12 basketful of bread left over. From the 5 loaves, not after they were fed and they were happy, there were 12 baskets left over. If you were the disciples, can you explain why the 5 loaves of bread enough to satisfy 5,000 and still have 12 baskets left over? How could the disciples explain that? You know, today, a lot of people were saying that, people who do not believe in Jesus, and they would say, because Jesus was trying to teach the people, the multitude, a lesson to share food. So therefore, as the young man came and offered up his 5 loaves and fishes, and the rest of the people just took out their food and shared with each other. Otherwise, they would not share. Well, if that's the case, how do you explain the 12 basket leftovers? There's no way you can explain that, right? So, in the eyes and the hearts of the disciples, they knew very clearly that Jesus did a sign here for them to see. This is a sign. In verse 14, the people saw the sign, okay? But they did not understand. The disciples also saw the sign. The sign was the bread and the fish would satisfy the 5,000 people and still 12 baskets leftovers. So this is a sign that the Lord Jesus wants the disciples to see. Okay? Now we go back to this story. Okay, let's go back and try to analyze this story. When the Lord Jesus asked Philip and the other disciples, where shall we buy bread that these may eat, that the people may eat? The Bible tells us that very clearly, Jesus himself knew what he would do. Brother and sister, this is a very comforting statement. You know, brother and sister, in our life, everyday life, we will surely encounter challenges and needs. Just like these disciples here, they wish the Lord Jesus would just finish the meeting early and send the people home and don't bother about the rest of them, because they couldn't find enough food to satisfy 5,000 people. They were worried. They were worried that, you know, the people will stay late and then they have to feed them. But their worst fear came to pass, and Jesus did ask them, what shall we do? Where shall we get the food, get the bread, so that they may eat? So their worst fear came actually happened, and that is,
They have a problem that they cannot solve. They have a difficulty they cannot deal with. Brothers and sisters, in our daily life, we will encounter challenges and difficulties. Don't think that if you sin against God, you will encounter difficulty. And if you follow God's will, you will not encounter difficulties and needs. That's not true. The Bible tells us, you know, the 12 disciples, they have done nothing wrong here. Why would the Lord give this big difficulty to them? Why would the Lord ask them to feed the 5,000? You know, they weren't doing anything wrong. So in our experience, you know, even though we were following the Lord's will, sometimes we encounter difficulties and needs. And when we encounter them, what is our attitude? Brother and sister, here, you know, the Lord asked the disciple and he tests them. And immediately, Philip and Andrew came up with two answers. These are very typical answers. Philip's answer was, even with 200 denarii, it's not enough to satisfy them. So in other words, when Philip encountered difficulty, he immediately think of, how can I solve this problem? How can I solve this problem? He's coming back to himself. Now I have a difficulty in front of me. The Lord asked me a question. How am I going to solve this problem? So then he immediately calculated in his mind. Well, 200 denarii, even that is not enough. So he was calculating it. You know, when we think of a question, when we think of a problem, immediately we think the cost. What is the cost to resolve this problem? How can I afford fixing the problem? So that's his immediate reaction. You know, he is not too far off, because 200 denarii is a lot of money. And we know that one denarii is approximately one day's wages. Okay, this we know from the Bible. So 200 denarii is 200 days wages. 200 days, put it this way, 200 days is roughly 40 weeks, right? 5 days a week. So 40 weeks. 40 weeks wages. There are only 52 weeks in a year. 40 weeks, roughly about 9 months. So 9 months wages is not enough to satisfy 5,000 people. So he is a very quick thinker, but his reaction is, I am going to solve this problem. How am I going to solve it? So if I have, even if I have 200 denarii, I do not have enough to satisfy them. So his reaction is, how can I solve the problem? That's his attitude towards problem. Andrew has a different reaction. Andrew look around. Andrew probably know that I cannot solve the problem. I need help. So he look around and he tried to find answers from around him. So he found this young man with the lunch, with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Yes, he found someone who has some ability to help, but he realized that even with that, it's not enough. You see his mindset. He was thinking of, I cannot solve the problem. Not like Philip. Philip was thinking, how can I solve this problem? Let me dig into my pocket. Okay. Andrew was smarter than that. He knew that he cannot solve this problem. So he looked around, see if there's anyone around him who can help him to solve this problem. What he can find was one young man with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. So he was kind of discouraged because he couldn't find anyone to help him. He himself said to the Lord, he said, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? He knew that even the people around him couldn't help him. Isn't that our reaction, brothers and sisters, when we face difficulties and trials? Sometimes we look at ourselves and say, how can I solve this? Do I have enough resources to solve this problem? Sometimes we know that we cannot solve the problem. So we look around and see if there's anyone around us who can help us to resolve the problem. That is Andrew and Philip's attitude. I guess this is also the attitude of the other 10 disciples. And
truly speaking, it probably is the same attitude of us. You know, this is also our attitude. Brothers and sisters, as I said, in our everyday life, we will encounter challenges and needs and difficulties. Very often, our immediate reaction is, how can I solve this problem? If I cannot solve this problem, who can I go to? Who can I talk to that can help me to solve this problem? That is their mentality, that is their mindset. It is also our mentality, our mindset. Let's not laugh at those disciples. We deal with problems and we deal with challenges in the same manner. It's really easy for us to look back to ourselves and ask ourselves, can I resolve this problem? If I cannot, who can help me? Let's look around. Who can help me solve this problem? But as you know, neither Andrew nor Philip can resolve this problem. But we praise the Lord. They not knew what he ought to do. Even before he asked this question, he knew what he would do. Even before Andrew and Philip volunteer an answer, the Lord Jesus already knew in his heart what he needed to do. This is really important, brothers and sisters. We always, you know, in our everyday life, life is not always smooth. The sky is not always blue. How are we going to learn to deal with these challenges? Do we just ask ourselves how we can deal with it? Or do we look for help from other people? Or do we really know that the Lord Jesus knew what he ought to do? If we clearly remember the Lord himself knew what he would do, then we will not be struggling and ask ourselves, what do I have to resolve this problem? Or who can help me to resolve this problem? Knowing the Lord knew what he would do. That is very important. You know, clearly the Lord did a very clear miracle here. It's a very clear sign, okay? With the 5 loaves and 2 fish, it's not enough to satisfy 5,000 people. The Lord Jesus not only used it to satisfy the 5,000, and there were 12 baskets full of fragments left over. So the Lord Jesus, when he asked the disciples to pick up the fragments, when they found out there were 12 baskets full, in their heart, there's no misunderstanding that the Lord Jesus is a true and living God. True and living God. That we can experience him in our everyday life. Brother and sister, you know, with the 5,000 people, all they were concerned of is the bread, the food, the daily need. So when the Lord Jesus satisfied them on that day, they came back the next day. You know, if you think of it this way, brother and sister, think of it this way. Excuse me for saying that. If the whole purpose of this miracle is to satisfy the 5,000 people, then brother and sister, forgive me for saying this. The Lord has failed. Failed very miserably. Because the next day, they came back for more. And if the second day, the Lord Jesus Christ also satisfied them, they will come back the third day. And they will come back the fourth day. And they will come back the fifth day. And they will keep coming back. Isn't that a sign of failure? So obviously, this sign is not for the 5,000, because they obviously did not see the message. That's why they came back for more physical food. And even if the Lord satisfied them on the second day, they will continue to come back. Because their eyes were not open. Now let's come back to what Jesus tried to explain this. He is trying to explain to the multitude, and he's trying to explain it to the 12 disciples as well. In verse 27, the Lord Jesus said, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Brother and sister, the Lord Jesus was not trying to just meet their everyday need. The Lord Jesus tell them, do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. This is what the Lord wants us to learn. You know, very often our everyday life is like fighting fire. You know what I mean, right, by fighting fire. Here's a fire, we try to put it off, put it out. Another fire pop up and we try to put it out. And every day we try to put out fires. If that is our mentality, brother and sister, there's always fire to put out. And you will be so busy and you won't be able to concern with spiritual things. Because every day you're trying to put out fire. Every day you're trying to meet this need and that need. Trying to resolve this difficulty and that difficulty. You know, brother and sister, every day there are needs and difficulties and challenges. If our everyday life is trying to put out fire, we'll be too busy to seek after the Lord. We'll be too busy to seek after spiritual food. That's why the Lord said, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Here the Lord is not trying to tell us, let's not go to work. Let's not go to school. No, that's not what the Lord meant. We know that we have to go to work. We have to go to school. But is that our only preoccupation? Is that the only thing that preoccupies the whole of our life? You know, brother and sister, what is the Lord to you? What is the Lord to you? Is the Lord just there to help you to put out fires? Oh Lord, I pray that you will give me a good job. And then when the Lord answers your prayer and give you a good job, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But what if the Lord didn't answer your prayer? You pray to the Lord, oh, tomorrow I have an exam. Lord, help me, help me. If the Lord helps you, if the Lord hears your prayer, and you got good marks, what if one day the Lord didn't answer your prayer? And even though you study hard, you didn't study the right stuff. What will you do? If all the Lord to you is hearing your prayer, answering your prayer, and dealing with this fire and that fire, you know, one day you will realize that, you know, sometimes the Lord may not be answering our prayer as we want. Are you going to be doubting the Lord then? Are you just like the 5,000 people who are only concerned about their need? And they praise the Lord, oh, the Lord give me food to eat. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. And then say, and come back for more. Is that our attitude? The Lord Jesus tells us, look, let's rethink our whole attitude toward the Lord. Let's rethink our whole attitude. Is He just someone who listens to my prayer and give me help when I am in need? Is that all the Lord to me? The Lord said, look, do not labor for the food which perishes. In other words, the things of this world, do not labor for them. In other words, when you seek, the Bible said very clearly, if you seek after the righteousness and the kingdom of the Lord, all these things will be added to you. It will be given to you. Our problem is, we are so preoccupied with the things of this world, and we thought that the Lord is here to help me. When I am in need, the Lord has to help me. When I have a difficulty, the Lord has to help me to resolve this difficulty. I pray to Him. I deep pray. How come He's not answering me? If that's our whole attitude, we have to rethink what is our relationship with the Lord. And here the Lord said, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Here we have an everlasting life. Let's not forget that this life on this earth is very short. Yes, we are living in this world, we have our responsibilities, we have our duties, we have our things to do. But do not forget you have an everlasting life. And that is very important. You know, I keep reminding brother and sister and myself, when the Lord gives us everlasting life, eternal life, this is not just a theory. This is not just a concept. It is real. We all have eternal life
We all have everlasting life. Because we have this everlasting life, we know that when our days on this earth comes to an end, it's not the end of us. We have an everlasting life. It just take up another body, and our everlasting life will continue. Brother and sister, so often we are so preoccupied with the things that we can see, we can feel, we can touch, and spiritual things and eternal life become something so abstract, something not really real, not really realistic. But brother and sister, eternal life is real. It's something that we can experience today. If we are so preoccupied with just things of this world, no wonder we are so busy trying to put out one fire, put out another fire, and every day we try to put out fire. If we continue to do that, you'll find life is very difficult. There's no joy. Because as soon as one fire is put out, there's another fire. As soon as this world is over, there's something else coming up. So brother and sister, turn our focus into our relationship with our Lord Jesus. What is our relationship with Him? Is our relationship just to resolve everyday difficulties and challenges and needs? Or is it something more than that? You know, when the Lord Jesus explained to them this, let's go to verse 35. Jesus continued to say to the multitude and the disciples, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Brother and sister, in our everyday life, what is more important than hunger and thirst? It's something that we have to deal with every day, right? We have to eat, we have to drink. If we have no food, we have no drink, then we will die, right? So it's very important that we have food and we have drink. But here the Lord said, I am the bread of life. He didn't say that if you believe in me, your daily need will be satisfied. He didn't say that if you believe in me, don't worry about your everyday difficulties. I will be there to help you. No, he says, I am the bread of life. So in other words, the Lord is reminding us, look, life is not just this physical body. Yes, our physical body needs to eat and drink. There's no question about it. The Lord is not trying to make it small. No, it's important, it's big matter. But the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In other words, the Lord Jesus and us, our relationship is not just dealing with everyday need, but our relationship is dealing with our eternal life as well. Remember, our eternal life need to be fed, need to be drunk, so we need spiritual food as well. The Lord Jesus said, if you have me as the bread of life, your life will be satisfied. Are we satisfied with our Lord Jesus Christ? That is the question. Or are we just looking at this fire being put out, that fire being put out, and then I'm happy? Or is the Lord Himself your happiness? Is the Lord Himself your joy? Is He sufficient to satisfy your life? So often, we measure the fullness of our life by our material things, by our success in this society. But here the Lord tells us, I am the bread of life. How much of me do you have? That measure how rich, how full your life is. How much Jesus do you have inside of you? The Lord Jesus said, he who comes to me shall never hunger. He and he who believes in me shall never thirst. This is very definitive statement. There's no if, no buts. There's nothing to qualify this statement. The Lord Jesus
He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. So the Lord is very clear to us. If you have the Lord Jesus, you will never hunger, you will never thirst. Why? That's because the Lord is so... the fullness of the Father is in the Lord, and if the Lord is in us, the fullness of the Father is also in us. And here, if we have the Father's fullness in us, why should we be hungry? Why should we be thirsty? There's no reason for it. So, brother and sister, let's turn our mindset. Do not think that the Lord Jesus is someone there only when you are in need. When you are not in need, you don't need the Lord Jesus. That's our mentality. We need to change that, brother and sister. We need to change that. The Lord Jesus is the fullness of the Father. When the Lord Jesus is in us, this fullness is in us. And if the fullness of God is in us, there's no empty space inside of us. We'll be so satisfied. You know, brother and sister, this is not only our position in the Lord. This should also be our experience. So often, we have this position, and yet our experience is so poor that we always struggling in our life, trying to pray to the Lord, "Help me, Lord, help me, help me, help me." When you have the Lord inside of you, you have the fullness of the Father in you. You don't have to beg for His mercy or His grace, because He's in you. You know, when the Lord said, "He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Believe in it, brother and sister. Believe in it. Trust it. And take this into your heart. And the Lord, when He promised that, He will surely deliver. So often, our faith is lacking, and therefore, our eyes turn to the fire. Here's a fire, there's a fire. I'm so busy trying to put out fire. And we forgot. The Lord knew what He would do. Even before the 5,000 people came to Him, even before the disciples asked the Lord to disperse the people and send them away, the Lord Jesus knew already in His heart what He would do. Even before Andrew found this young man with the 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus already knew what He would do. Before a fire pop up here, a fire pop up there, the Lord already knew what He would do. Are you willing to rest in Him? Or are you busy calculating, looking for other people to help you, like Philip and Andrew? Or would you just rest in the Lord, believing that He knew what He would do even before this fire pop up and that fire pop up? When we read further on, the Lord Jesus said in verse 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Here Jesus is trying to explain to them what is really important to them. Not because you ate yesterday, therefore you are satisfied. No, because "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." If you will live forever, remember that. If you will live forever, will you be worried about not having enough to eat? Think about this. The Bible said, you live forever on one side. On the other side, you think, "Oh, if I don't have enough to eat, I will go hungry. And if I still don't have enough to eat, I will die." Here, the Lord said, you will live forever. Here, you said, "I will die if I don't have enough to eat." Do you live forever, or will you die? You see our paradox. On one hand, we believe The Lord said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. On the other hand, we worry. We may not live forever. Therefore, we better save up some more bread. So, when the Lord said, you will live forever, here I better save up some more bread so that I will live forever. Is the Lord making you live forever? Or do you use your own hand trying to live forever? You know, if you try to use your own hand to live forever, you will find this living forever, this eternal life, is very miserable. Can you imagine your problem will be everlasting? Can you believe your challenges will be everlasting? How can you enjoy eternal life if every day in your eternal life is to worry about you're hungry and you're thirsty? When the Lord said, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. If the Lord said we will live forever, he will satisfy us forever. We will not have to worry about being thirsty or being hungry. Just trusting in the Lord. Brother and sister, I know this is hard to comprehend, because it's really contradict to our instinct. Our instinct is, if I don't save up enough, then tomorrow I will be going hungry and thirsty. So therefore, I'm trying to save up a lot here, so that I can live tomorrow. This is our instinct. But brothers and sisters, this is the life of our old man, not trusting the Lord. Remember the story about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God said to them, you shall not eat of the tree of good and evil. The day you eat of it, you will surely die. Then when Satan came to tempt them, then they decided to eat of the fruit. So Adam and Eve both ate. What was their motive behind eating that fruit? When God clearly told them that you cannot eat, the day you eat, you will surely die. What's going through their mind probably was, maybe the Lord has kept something from us. Maybe the Lord don't want us to eat it because this is good. Therefore, they decided to disobey and challenge God's instruction. And they went and ate of it. Today, we have the same mentality. Jesus said, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Our mentality is, so I trust it? What if it doesn't work? What if? I better save up some more here. What if he couldn't deliver? I still have something here. That's our mentality. We cannot truly trust the Lord. Even though the Lord is black and white here. Brothers and sisters, you may probably understand why the multitude, why the 5,000 cannot understand. And therefore, they come back for more and more of this physical food. But the amazing thing is, if you read through this passage, there's something very, very heartbreaking. Let me point out another verse. Let's go to verse 60, brother and sister. Verse 60. It's a very surprising verse. Verse 60, it says, in the same chapter, chapter 6 of John. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Who was speaking here, brother and sister? This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? This did not come out from the 5,000 people. This came out from the mouth of the many of his disciples. That is the heartbreaking part.
If the 5,000 people, they said, this is a hard saying, who can understand it? We can still understand. We can understand that. But when this came out from the mouth of the many disciples, that is what really breaks the heart of the Lord Jesus. And he said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Brother and sister, we can never imagine that coming out from the mouth of our Lord Jesus. He said to his disciples, does this offend you? Can you believe that? Can you imagine? The disciples were offended by what the Lord is saying. Today, are we offended by what the Lord is saying? When the Lord said, anyone who eats of this bread, he will live forever. We should be joyful. We should rejoice. Anyone who eats of this bread shall live forever. We should rejoice. But here you find many of his disciples find it hard to accept. And the Lord has to say, does this offend you? Verse 66. From that time, many of his so-called disciples went back and walked with him no more. Many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. You think it's easy? If it's so easy, how come many of his disciples decided to go back and walk away from the Lord? It is not easy. Even though it's not easy, but praise the Lord, it says in verse 63, that's where our comfort is. Our comfort is in verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Not because we can. Brothers and sisters, not because we can. The Lord is very merciful. The Lord, His Holy Spirit inside of us, enable us to believe. You know, we thought that we have faith in the Lord Jesus. Truly speaking, we don't have any faith. We don't have any. It is the work of the Holy Spirit who strengthened our faith, who has given us the faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit gives us this faith to help us to truly have a real relationship with our Lord Jesus. It's not just words of mouth. It is not just words, lip service. It's truly a real relationship between us and the Lord Jesus. If we eat of this bread, we will have eternal life. What that means is, if we have this real relationship with the Lord, we will have eternal life. It doesn't matter whether there is a fire here, a fire there, a need here, a difficulty there. It doesn't matter anymore. If anyone eat of this bread, he will have eternal life. We have this bread inside of us. We ate of it already. We believe already. We have Jesus Christ inside of us. We are no longer fighting fire. We have the Lord Jesus inside of us. The Lord Jesus knew what he would do. Remember this. The Lord Jesus knew what he would do. When you are dealing with challenges, when you are dealing with difficulties, when you are laid off from your work, when you are sick with very serious illness, you pray to the Lord, and if the Lord does not answer your prayer, it doesn't reduce this relationship between you and the Lord. knowing that he knew what he would do. That is the passage, the words that I would like you to take back today. The Lord knew what he would do. That's important. We have the Lord Jesus inside of us. When so many of his disciples decided to go back and leave the Lord, obviously, they went through the same test that the Lord was testing in verse 5, in verse 6. But this he said to Philip to test him. He said to the disciple to test them. He said to everyone to test them. Today, the Lord Jesus is also testing you and me. The Lord Jesus allowed this fire to pop up. The Lord Jesus allowed that fire to pop up is to test you and to test me. Are we like that many disciples? After the test, they decided to leave the Lord Jesus. Obviously, they failed the test. Just like the 5,000, they also failed the test. Are you going to fail this test? You will, I can guarantee you, you will see difficulty, you will see needs in your life. You will see this fire pop up, that fire pop up. Remember, the Lord is testing you. The Lord knew what he would do before this fire pop up, that fire pop up. He knew what he would do. The issue is, do you know what you would do? Are you able to pass the test? The 5,000 failed the test. Many disciples failed the test. Let's look at the 12. Verse 67. The Lord Jesus said to the 12 disciples, do you also want to go away? Do you also want to go away? The test is also on you. Do you want to go away? Then Simon Peter, 68. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Brother and sister, Peter passed the test. The 12 disciples, 11 of them, passed the test. Brother and sister, today, we will encounter fire, we will encounter needs and difficulties. The Lord is not trying to be difficult with us. The Lord is testing you and me. When we come in contact with difficulties and needs, are we like the many disciples who find it hard to believe and therefore they laugh? Or are we responding like Peter? Lord, to whom shall we go? We have no one. No one can satisfy our life. No one can give us this eternal life. No one can satisfy us except the Lord Jesus. You have the words of eternal life. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You are the answer to our need. You are the answer to all this fire. Brother and sister, did we learn this lesson? Every day we encounter these difficulties and fires. Are we busy fighting fire, or are we resting in this promise that he has the words of eternal life, he is the Christ, and he is the Son of the living God? Because he is, he knew what he would do, and we can rest, and we can be comforted, and we can be satisfied. And we will no longer be trying to put out this fire, trying to put out that fire. No. He is. The answer is, he is. He has the word of eternal life. And he is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He is the answer to all our need, all our difficulty. That is the test, brother and sister. May the Lord bless us. When we leave this door today, when we go back into the world, We will encounter difficulties and needs and trials. Remember, the Lord Jesus, He is the Christ, He is the Son of the living God, living God. He has the words of the eternal life. And that's all we need. We don't need answer to this fire. We don't need answer to that difficulty. The Lord knew what He would do, because He is. Remember that He is. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You for the words You have spoken to us this morning. Lord, You love us so much. How can we ever doubt Your love? Lord, we know that every day we will encounter difficulties and needs, but we know that You knew what You would do. Lord, I pray that You will help us. You will strengthen our faith in You, and You will help us to enrich our relationship with You, with all this everyday experience. Lord, we know that we have a position in You. We wanted to experience that position in our everyday life as well. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray that You will open our eyes so that we will see how wonderful and how rich You are. Lord, help us to experience this fullness of life. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you very much.